what would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio, live, even though it's Victoria Day. My apologies to Queen Victoria for the blatant disrespect for coming in and doing the radio. I also work today, but that was by choice. I could have had it off, but I opted to give my coworkers the day off, and I'm going to hopefully be off work this Friday so that I can spend the entire day playing some Dark Souls, because that's when the remastered version comes out, and you all care very much. So I'm here. My name is John Forward, titular of St. John Forward Radio. The grammar on that sentence is not great, but we're going to roll with it. Before we get right into it, just a quick little comedy update before we get to the dirt. No jokes barred at the R Bar this past Saturday. It was a thin crowd, but it was a fun show. I enjoyed myself. Everybody had a good set. About half of the people I had originally lined up to perform on the show canceled, various reasons, some better than others. Joe Butler seems to be having the same issue as I am at the Wilsers Room in Fredericton. He made a post on Facebook making vague threats to comedians canceling, which we don't want to have to be your mom, but we're trying to run a show. It's kind of a pain in the ass. I don't expect everyone's lives to revolve around an open mic comedy show, but if you're going to ask for a spot, I expect some level of commitment to it. And, you know, stuff happens depending on how much notice, how often you've canceled on me and what the reasons are. You know, I get various levels of annoyed, you know, if you just can't keep track of your calendar and you double book yourself, or if you're on call at work or something else, I'm going to know that I can't necessarily rely on you for future shows, so I'm going to have to keep that in mind if I get more requests than I've got spots for, and it's not fair that I've got to say no to people, or for a long time I haven't even had a chance to post it on the Facebook group offering up the spots, so people, just because people have been asking me so far in advance, and that's easier for me, but I might have to cut that off and just make a post on Facebook closer to the show, just so that I... anyway, you're on notice, everyone out there. I also had a last-minute set at the Setlist show at McGill's last night. I was just there as a fan to watch, but Matt Keenan offered me the spot, and I took it. When the show, I was kind of second guessing that decision. There was, I think, like two people that were there that weren't comedians, and a loud hockey game going on. I pulled a diva move and I said I was going to withdraw my candidacy if they didn't at least turn the volume off the hockey game, which they probably would have done that anyway, but, put my foot down. It was weird. This is the third time that I did the set list show where they draw a premise out of the hat or a bucket and you have to, improvise your set. This was, the weakest of my three attempts, but it is what it is. And, there was, some people that did better. Some people did worse. So it's kind of a wash. Not sure if it was me or the audience, but some people did good. So I will take it on my own chin, I guess, for my abject failure. aside from that, I wasn't sure what I was going to talk about tonight, so I figured I would dust off some stuff about my my summer job that I was kind of coy about last year. I didn't really talk too much about it because I didn't want to get in trouble. It was about a year ago that that things started. It was an ongoing issue for longtime listeners, but my previous job with JDI after 5 years, that was when it was really starting to crumble. I ended up taking a job working with the special needs kids at a summer camp, thinking that would be like a foot in the door with that particular organization, or at the very least, maybe get back into teaching this year. But it did not go well. I did some restrained complaining on the show, but even with that limited amount of information, I still got in trouble with HR. And I've got a new job now, and I don't need to worry about getting in trouble. So we're going to get into it. It's already 8 minutes into the show. But just getting started, my guest will have to just wait. I'll try to keep it relatively concise. This is going to be a multi-part series, though. First off, I don't know what I was expecting when I took this job. I shouldn't have been surprised that when I took a summer job for a couple bucks more than minimum wage, that almost all of my coworkers were going to be 18 to 20 years old. But that was weird, but I could handle it. I was even okay that my supervisor ended up being like a 20-something year old, but she had been working there for many years and knew more about the job than I did, so I didn't mind having a young person as a supervisor because I didn't know what I was doing. Turns out that this particular young person was a terrible person, and didn't have anything to do with her age. That didn't help, but she's likely going to continue being a terrible person for the rest of her life. I'll call her Jen to protect her identity. Things started to go sideways with Jen a couple of weeks after camp started. After working a fairly sedentary existence in an office for so long, being up and about and chasing after kids was kind of exhausting. So at the end of the first or the second week, I was talking with Jen, just telling her about it. I wasn't complaining, just having a chat with a coworker, and I mentioned that I'm pretty worn out and I should probably start taking my 15-minute breaks. And she said, "Yeah, I don't blame you. I did the same thing when I was an aide." And aide was my job title. So great. The kid that I was assigned to was a bit of a handful, so I couldn't always take my breaks. I didn't want to walk away if it was going to be a problem. I was assigned to one kid. He also had two other brothers at the camp, and only two of the three could get the funding to pay for special helpers, and the third one was just kind of on his own. But the three boys were straight up assholes. They do have a really sad backstory and lots of home problems. You know, their mother died when they were young, but still assholes. And part of the reason that they were such little monsters is because everybody, and not for bad reasons, but people had sympathy for them. And if they did something that would get any other kid kicked out of camp, we just had to just ask them again to please stop doing that thing that you've been doing every 5 minutes for the entire summer. Like, for example, one of the camp policies was that adults aren't supposed to be alone with any individual kids for obvious reasons. So when my boy decided he was going to go hide in the bathroom and just, "I have diarrhea," and instead of going outside every time that we left, I couldn't go in there and, like, drag him out. So we just, it was kind of a problem. So all the other kids had to stay behind while we negotiated with this kid to walk 2 minutes across the parking lot and sit on the bench instead of the field and not participate instead of sitting in a bathroom stall. Everybody suffered. These three kids ruined it for all the other kids. And those kids would go home and tell their parents what went on, and the parents would stop sending them to camp. And so couldn't always walk away to take a break. But since my kid was a little fat boy who loved to eat, the best time to take a break was during snack time. And that's when he was least likely to be a problem. But even then, there was another guy that was looking after one of the other brothers that could keep an eye on him. And I didn't go far. I used to just go downstairs in the on the bottom floor in the same building and just put my headphones in and fart around on my phone for 15 minutes just to kind of decompress. And then I'd come back up. Can't think of a single time where that was a problem, except one day I was downstairs, and I hear Jen come down a few minutes later. She didn't know that I was there, talking on the phone, and I hear her telling my boss, "He's doing it again. He keeps insisting that he's entitled to these breaks. I don't know what to do," which is interesting, because, you know, the last job that I had with the evil JDI Empire, they told me that I was entitled to 2 15-minute breaks in an 8-hour shift, and it's not the most benevolent company in the world, so I assumed it was a legal thing. But Jen was talking to my boss as if, like, she'd been having arguments with me about this, and I'm like, "No, I'm entitled to it," and kept insisting on it, when, like, literally the only time that we had a conversation was when she said, "Yeah, go for it, I don't blame you, I used to do the same thing." But next time my boss came for a visit, I told her that I had overheard this conversation, gave my side, told her that it was never brought up to me as if it was a problem, like, am I not supposed to take breaks? If she had said something, I would have just stopped doing it until I looked into it to see if I actually was, but my boss said she didn't know. She just told Jen to check with HR and suggested that I just talk to Jen. Which I was going to do until a couple of days later, I got an email from HR saying, "Hi, John, it has been brought to my attention that you have concerns toward our definition of rest periods within our employee handbook. I wanted to reassure you that we are following the New Brunswick Employment Standards requirements as per New Brunswick Occupational Health and Safety Act, see page 28 of the attachment, as you can see with the attached items to this email. If you have information and resources which demonstrates these items as incorrect, I would greatly appreciate if you would share for my review. I want to ensure that there isn't an item we are missing. Thank you for bringing this to our attention. I hope you have a great weekend." Which I responded back with, "Thanks, but I didn't have concerns. At every other job I've had, they gave me 2 15-minute breaks during a shift that long, so after the first week, I was tired. Big change from sitting at a desk all day. I told Jen I was going to start taking them so that I could decompress, and she said, 'I don't blame you. I did the same thing.' I rarely have a chance to take those 2 breaks because the kid I'm working with requires a lot of attention. The first time I became aware of this problem was when I overheard Jen complaining to the director on the phone about it. So I don't see anything in the code about 15-minute breaks, so I guess I was wrong. I wish it would have been brought up with me directly, but thanks for the information." So that was the opening salvo of my summer camp beef with Jen, and it's going to be a multi-part series that's going to continue on next week's show. But for now, I'm going to say hello to my guest, who's been patiently sitting there for 16 minutes. Hello, Austin Hill.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Welcome to the show. I apologize for running over my time there. I don't know. It was because of the late start, I think. Anyway, I don't know why I'm apologizing to you. This is my show.
That's true.
Anyway, thank you for being here. And we're going to take a quick break so everybody can absorb all of that. And again, next week I will continue the complaining. That was only the beginning with Jen. So, but for now, let's hear some Ice Cube to tell Jen to stop snitching.
Ice Cube, yeah. Calling from a California state penitentiary.
Let me out this
we got over 2 million motherfuckers locked up.
Let me out this stop motherfucker. Snitching. Now how many MCs must get booed before somebody say don't fuck with Q? You know I strip you nude, but in your living room, face down, paralyzed from the waist down. I'm a fucking clown, but don't fuck around. Doing movies now, but I'll lay you down. South Central style, pull them bangs out. Don't make a millionaire, had to send you here. know the story of the tortoise, nigga, and the hare. Nigga, run, never get there. I'ma walk, fuck a bitch when I get there. Nigga, this a marathon, ask Farrakhan. Fuck the cemetery that I'm buried on. Fuck. The blood of Ice Cube got to carry on.
Forever,
forever, what the fuck are they yelling?
Gangsta, gangsta.
Nigga, stop telling.
Stop snitching.
You can have whatever you want. In the hood, it's do's and don'ts.
Stop snitching.
So when it get hot in this kitchen, stop snitching. Nigga, stop snitching.
Microphone master, super rhyme maker. Gun blaster, who's the life taker? Who the fuck is a lifetime Laker? I slap the Maybelline off Tammy Faye Baker. Who the fuck got more than an acre? In Los Angeles, I got to have paper. I'm a nigga, don't talk to my neighbor. Straight asshole, always up in Vegas. Lay it out for these niggas to follow. Get the point, but these points is hollow. Now this here is hard to swallow, but if you do, it's like hitting a lotto. Little nigga with big bravado. Hit the throttle, niggas hit the bottle. Can give a fuck if they life is hollow. Where the fuck was you when I rock the Apollo, bitch? Nigga, nigga, can't you see? Somehow your words incarcerate me. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Lock me up in my prime, Muhammad Ali. Get out, whoop your ass like Muhammad Ali. Rumble in the jungle, nigga, don't play Dumbo. In the hood, nigga, known as Columbo. Get the people on the phone, tell a jumbo. Spit fluid and swear he didn't do it. Got my bottom bitch locked up with Martha Stewart. She say she had the hoe cooking deep dish. She say Martha can cook fish and eat fish. West side, y'all niggas got to peep this. That's your weakness, can't keep a secret. Don't say shit, boy, that's basic. They wanna send a nigga back to the slave
ship. Stop snitching.
You can have whatever you want. In the hood, it's do's and don'ts.
Stop snitching.
So when it get hot in this kitchen, stop snitching. Nigga, stop snitching. You can have whatever you choose. But out here, it's don'ts and do's. So after we finish this mission, stop snitching. Nigga, stop
okay,
snitching.
Okay. One, two, in the place to be. Rock with Ice Cube and the homie Twin Peaks. One, two, in the place to be. Rock with Ice Cube and the homie Twin Peaks. One, two, in the place to be. Rock with Ice Cube and the homie Twin Peaks. One, two, in the place to be. Rock with Ice Cube and the homie Twin Peaks. Keep your mouth shut.
Keep your fucking mouth shut, man.
Keep your effing mouth shut, Jen. That's right. Anyway, back on St. John Forward Radio. Finally, 20 minutes into the show, your family gets to hear you on the radio. Austin, are you excited?
I'm so excited for my family to hear me on the radio.
Hello, Austin's family. So, let's get into all of your most personal, shameful details, all of the crimes you've committed, all of the... you were talking trash about your whole family before the show.
Oh, definitely. That's the only thing I ever talk about.
Yeah.
My whole comedy routine's based around it, actually. Just none of them come to the show.
Yeah. Well, people will have to buy a ticket or arrive at the Pay What You Can show to hear it. Austin, how long have you been doing comedy?
You actually gave me my first show back in November.
Mm-hmm.
And been doing a couple shows here and there ever since, so.
Yeah.
6 months, I guess that's what it would be, around there.
Are you counting sets? Do you know how many you got?
I was trying to count today, just thinking they might ask the question. I was thinking six, maybe, and two of those would be set lists.
Yeah. You actually, you did pretty good on the set list that I saw you on. I was, I'm always surprised when like the newer comedians like do way better than everybody else. Like, last night, David Hall, who did his second set ever on at the R Bar on Saturday, he did pretty good, and not even like for a new guy, like it. Nobody did like amazing, but yeah, like John Scove Nielsen, who's been at it for over a year now, he kind of bailed after a couple of premises, or he just couldn't think of anything. And Matt Keenan did what he's done every time that I've seen him do it, where he just asks the host follow-up questions as if they're going to flip over the other side of the piece of paper and there's going to be more information. But and then he came on third and actually put together some stuff and got some laughs. It was impressive. But I think the one that I saw you on, or well, I think I've been at all of them, but one of them, I think you had the one of the best sets of the night.
Yeah, so, that's what I was told.
Congratulations. Do you have any kind of improv experience?
No, the only thing I have is going through community college and making up a lot of presentations.
Yeah. What did you take in community college?
I have
college?
A marketing and business background, so a lot of 20, 30-minute presentations. Okay. You got to put some filler in there when you didn't study enough or didn't write enough.
Yeah. Kind All right. Study. So, yeah, so you had to, like, think. Like, there's some comedians, I don't know why, and it's not a problem. I don't want to make it sound like I'm complaining, but, like, they know, like, exactly, like, the number every time. They're like, this is number 7 and 8. And so forth, but
a lot of people are smarter than I am. They pay more attention. I'm kind of just showing up to everyone I get invited to or sign up for. I'm like, yeah, they're having me on, no problem.
Yeah, but you're doing well so far. I don't think I've seen you have a bomb. Have you had any?
Not really anything terrible. I've had ones where I wasn't happy with the outcome because I felt like I more winged more of it.
Right.
I also kind of rigged the game. I bring part of the audience with me.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. But even they're still coming after this long. Like I used to have non-comedy friends who would come see me, but they got tired of that pretty quickly, and many of them haven't been out in years.
Well, usually I'm the designated driver as well, so it's a pretty easy sell.
You
guys
can
drink up. I'll drive you home. Just come watch my show.
So you started out. You were a fan of the shows for a while. Like how long was it that you were coming out to the shows before you started doing your own?
Want to say August? No, before then. It would have been the beginning of last summer, I guess you'd say. June, I started watching your shows with the Reverend.
Yeah.
I saw him and I was like, oh, it seems approachable. And then I saw that John Forward perform. I was like, oh my gosh, this guy seems like I could obtain that level.
Yeah, it's a very low bar that I try to set, and that's just to encourage new people. I like to not do too well so as to be intimidating.
Well, it started off as, like, idolism. It's like, oh, he runs one show, and then he runs another show, and then he has, like, a radio show. This guy's obviously the star of St. John.
He should be, but
definitely
not so much. I still, even at the immense level of fame and fortune that I've amassed, it's still... Oh, you do comedy, you must be at the Yuck Yucks. Well,
that's where everyone goes instantaneously. Yeah. They're like, you're at the Yuck Yucks. I'm like, yeah, they just let anybody walk right up. You could perform 15 minutes, they'll pay you.
Yeah, I've got a, like, I can at least say, well, since January, I've been there a handful of times, so I don't have to do the awkward, well, no, but, because, like, I mean, when somebody's that excited, like, oh, you must do the Yuck Yucks, it's really hard to explain that, like, no, but it's not because I suck too bad, I promise.
I run my own shows.
Yeah.
People come out to them.
Yeah, even sometimes if especially at O'Leary's, if the crowd's kind of thin, if we're like 10 minutes before the show's going to start and there's nobody there yet, I'll go out with a megaphone and just yell at people on the street, and even them, they're like, oh, Yuck Yucks, and I give them
better.
The standard line is, no, that's the Walmart of comedy, this is no jokes part. Have you done the Yuck Yucks yet? Have you done a guest spot or an amateur night or anything?
No, I'm doing my first amateur night actually this Wednesday coming up.
All right, well, throw in the plug. That what's the date on Wednesday? The 23rd. That's when, if you're listening to the podcast version, that's tonight, unless you're listening to it late, in which you should be ashamed of yourself. You missed Austin.
How dare you?
So how did No Jokes Barred come on your radar? I'm curious, especially from somebody with a marketing background, because I have no idea what works and what doesn't.
Actually, word of mouth got me. It was, I don't want to butcher his name, the Reverend Brian, is that what he goes by?
The Reverend Brian Giles.
Giles, yeah.
I don't know if he calls himself the Reverend anymore. He doesn't stop anybody else from calling him that.
Fair enough. Brian Giles, yeah. He's actually a member of the Lions organization.
Okay.
And I actually knew some friends who were in the organization. Like, we're going to go to a comedy night and see this lion perform. Do you want to come? And I was sold on that. And then after seeing my first show, I was like, this has to take over my life now. Yeah. This is what I do.
Yeah, like I think what we're doing is kind of a special little undiscovered gem in the city, and it's kind of a bummer that nobody knows about it. I'm trying, but I don't know. Do you have any hot marketing tips for me, how I can get this underground thing going without having like a $1 billion national marketing campaign?
Nothing off the top of my head. Keep prying. Keep showing off. I don't know. That seems to be working for somewhat so far.
Yeah, I'm trying, but the word of mouth thing, I think, is the way to go. But I don't know how much people are talking about it. Like, I don't, like, to be honest, I expect everybody else to do this, but I'm not like going over to my friends and be like, hey, I just saw this comedy show, or I saw this band and it was amazing. Like, I'm not really talking about it either, so I don't know. But it's good to know that the Lions Club is getting the workout.
I'm going to have
to get in there with some sort of a partnership. What exactly is a Lions Club? What do they do?
I like to gather around and yell at each other for a couple hours. The idea behind it, I guess, is just kind of a fundraising business where everyone has an equal vote and you can decide what kind of organizations you want to put the money in that's raised from the community.
Okay.
That's a simple theory of it, but then you add the name Lions to it. It sounds like a cult. We all dress the same and it looks kind of weird. And
do you have special outfits that you wear?
Oh, we have yellow vests we get to wear.
Okay. I like the sound of that. That seems like something that that's within, like, the No Jokes Barred is like a sort of a community-based organization.
Exactly.
And it's kind of, I try to run it like as the best thing for the comedians, and honestly the best thing for John Forward, but that translates to everybody else, I like to think. But I don't know, I wanted to, instead of when there wasn't anything going on in the city, I feel like there was a kind of a desperation where it was just chasing after this hypothetical person in the audience, and it was very they don't like to hear anything offensive. We don't want to scare anybody off. Like, part of the No Jokes Barred thing was because, you know, Shane Ogden put me on a show and was super paranoid that I was too super hardcore and had to, like, warn me. I found that just having kind of a safe space for comedians would make everybody more comfortable. And I feel like if the comedians are happy, then hopefully the audience will find us. And it has on some level, but I don't know. There's still work to be done. I'm not really sure how to crack that nut.
Constant improvement.
Yeah, but that's hard to do. I don't know.
Yeah,
I've got some flyers printed up. I had them designed, but lots of like, your friend Jody is one of what I asked about it at the show. It's not entirely clear. I don't know if it just the design. I wanted it to have like kind of this like a Jekyll and Hyde kind of like No Jokes Barred at the R Bar is one version, and No Jokes Barred Deluxe is the fancier version, and I don't really know what I wanted. I think what I got wasn't exactly what I had in mind, but I had no specific enough feedback to find.
It looks very pretty,
though.
Further. Yeah. It looks good. It looks professional.
Yeah.
Maybe too clean for what the R Bar offers.
Yeah, I was kind of in my head picturing just like chaos on like the R Bar side of the thing. I'm not really sure how to convey that visually. I don't know, just like a rowdy audience or something.
Guy in a silver suit walking in.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, the R Bar is what it is. I think it's pretty successful, like, for an open mic show. It's kind of hit or miss as far as the audience goes. But I think the O'Leary's one, I think, has more potential for growth, because that's a little bit of an easier sell, I think, especially to, you know, somebody whose only experience with local comedy is Yuck Yucks. They don't need to worry about, like, getting stabbed in the face, which isn't really a problem at the R Bar, but it is a bit of a rougher joint. But O'Leary's, I think, is a more accessible show, even if there isn't any restriction on the content.
Yeah, it's definitely more friendly. People know where it is, I think, if you said O'Leary's. If you say the R Bar, most people are like, where's that at?
Yeah, it's a mix of where is that, or, oh, I don't want to go there.
When people know, I'm more surprised than when they don't. Like, what's your story? Go on.
Yeah.
So, did you grow up there?
The R-Bar, I think, has a worse reputation than it deserves. It's in kind of a seedy area. It's kind of a nice bar on the inside. Unfortunately, there's decades worth of history and old crazy drunks that haven't stopped going there for 30 years, but who haven't noticed the improvements going on around them.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I've never felt scared for my life there or anything.
No, there was a couple iffy situations where I've mouthed off to loud regulars. We're coming up on 4 years, and I haven't been punched yet, so...
So you're hoping for, like, you're number four, here comes the story?
Yeah, well... Part of me is I don't want to get punched, but if I did, yeah, I think it would be good for the legend. It's been a while since there's been any super sketchy memorable R-Bar moments. Like early on, there was one where a stray cat kind of wandered in, and a few of the comedians just like picked up the cat and incorporated that into their set.
It's definitely a relatable animal to a lot of the comedians.
Yeah,
they see themselves in the cat.
Yeah, actually, Darren Elmore, who we have a fraught past, but he I think he was on one of the shows where the cat came in, and he had a really funny line. He picked it up and he said something about being a pussy magnet even though he's gay or something, which was a really funny line, but that got a good laugh. There's a picture on Facebook, if you go back, of Shane Ogden holding the cat on the R-Bar stage. So, and then there was the woman that OD'd or something in the bathroom and had to be brought out on a stretcher during Mark Splude's set.
Does that end the show, or do you guys kind of...
No, we kept going.
Just like, ambulance coming in, she's going out, right through the whole thing?
Mark took a pause. Well, it took him a few minutes to realize what was going on, because everybody in the audience could see all the sirens and the ambulance in the windows behind him, and he didn't know. People weren't paying attention, and eventually they came in, but on her way out, she gave like the football player, like she gave, like she stuck her hand up and gave the thumbs up on her way out the door,
like the end of the movie, like she's victorious, like,
yeah. And then Mark finished off the set. That was a special moment. And there's been some there's one regular that's been there on and off. She hasn't been there in a while. She's like an older lady with like big burgundy hair. I've got a really good line that I've just been saving that I want to use on her next time that she's annoying. But yeah, I've gotten better at kind of weeding out the annoying regulars. There's still a couple. I guess this past Saturday there was the guy that just in the middle of David Hall's set just blurted out, "Where's my coat?" And was a bit of an ongoing problem. But I don't know.
He probably really wondered where he was at that point in time.
Yeah, and there was the shark man outside the window during your set that you never saw.
That sounds like it's made up. Like, you're like, it was a shark man behind you after I did a set that I felt really confident about. And you're like, they weren't laughing at you. It was definitely the shark behind you or something.
No, I said that they didn't even notice the shark man because they were so engaged with you. No, there was a guy, he had like a felt shark fin hat on top of his head and some sort of a mask. It was really weird.
But, is that how you pick up women?
What?
You gotta dress up to pick up women? Like, that's how you get your attention?
I don't know. There was blood in the water on Union Street.
That was disgusting.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. Do you want to tell us about your song selection that we're about to play?
I had a really hard time finding a not top 40 hit, which made me feel really bad about myself. It didn't.
Oh, you mainstream mother-effer.
Yeah, just going through, like, I'm like, oh, I got stuff that's not mainstream, and I look it up, and it's like, oh, that was mainstream before I was born.
Yeah, well, some people send me stuff that has like millions of views on YouTube. Like, really, like, I think when Phil Smith was on, one of his requests was like the current U2 single. Like, come on,
it's brand new. It's not on the radio yet.
There's some stuff, like, if I haven't heard of it, I'll just let it slide. I don't usually go too far into it, but if somebody picks something, I'll look it up. And if it's got like 2 million views on YouTube, I'm like, well. There is no real good way to define what exactly is a top 40 hit, but, you know, this one is not. This is, tell us about it, at least.
It's 19-2000 by Gorillaz.
off the first Gorillaz album. I enjoy this album quite a bit. It's I think this is the only Gorillaz album that I like. I've listened to the other ones, but this is the only one I've listened to like
it's a very good one
a lot of times. Well, before we get to that though, we'll have a quick PSA and station ID, and then we'll hear some Gorillaz, and we'll be back on St. John Forward Radio with more Austin Hill.
So, you're getting rid of some small household items and gently used clothing and just don't know what to do with them? Join Diabetes Canada's Declutter and Donate Challenge, and we'll pick them up for free. Keep your items out of a landfill and help fund diabetes research. You could say what you don't want does a whole lot. Schedule your free home pickup today at declutter.diabetes.ca. That's declutter.diabetes.ca.
Whoa, what's that coming through your speakers? It's Brian Godso on Local FM 107.3 in St. John and localfm.ca.
Spinning too fast, I'm fine that Nike shoes to keep myself tethered to the days I tried to lose. My mama said to slow down, you must make your own shoes. Stop dancing to the music, I'm good in a happy mood.
Digging through the funk here on St. John Forward Radio. I got a special birthday shout out to Jody Sprague out there. How old is she? Would she want you to say?
No, it's all a secret.
Okay. She's 20 years old, probably. I don't know.
That's kind of close enough.
Well, so here on St. John Forward Radio with Austin Hill. We're listening to some Gorillaz. Let's talk about music in general. What kind of stuff are you into? The Gorillaz is kind of something that if you know somebody listens to Gorillaz, that doesn't really narrow it down, because that covers kind of a lot of categories, I think.
I think a lot of categories is a good description of what I listen to.
Yeah.
So Gorillaz is on there. Bare Naked Ladies I'm a big fan of. Queen's on my regular rotation.
Have you seen the trailer for the Queen movie?
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
He's like my spirit animal.
Freddie Mercury?
Yeah, I just watched the way he like had a stage presence and could go up there and just control the whole crowd and didn't give a damn what anyone else said.
Yeah, and Queen's another one that's pretty much every, like, I don't know anybody that doesn't like Queen. It's because they kind of cover all the bases. They've got ballads, they've got rock songs, they've even like Stone Cold Crazy is a straight up metal song.
Oh yeah, they can match any mood, really.
Yeah, and Bohemian Rhapsody is just its own thing.
Oh yeah, that's just I don't know how that was like their breakout song. Like, it was just this random collage of everything, and that's the one that kind of takes off.
Well, it wasn't when it came out. That didn't become a hit until it was in the Wayne's World movie.
Oh yeah, that's
so
true.
The Wayne's World was a big thing, and like, you know, that song's like 8 minutes long, so it's not really something that probably got a lot of airplay.
Yeah, then is it Michael Myers? Yeah, that's not the murderer guy. Is I saying the right guy?
Yeah,
Mike Myers.
Michael Myers is from Halloween also.
If you're watching that, you can actually see he doesn't know the lyrics. He's just kind of going with it and like really? Shaking his head, and he's getting all confused, and he got sick from doing that scene so many times and had no clue what the lyrics was, because the song they were going to have originally, they like lost the licensing to.
So do you know what the song was supposed to be?
Unfortunately, I don't have the full story. I was hoping it would go off.
Well, if anybody out there has some Wayne's World trivia, you can call 648-5925 and join the conversation.
Excellent.
But you listen to any current stuff? Or is it all classics for it? Well, Gorillaz is like, that album's like 2001.
I know, a lot of that stuff speaks to me. It's what I listened to when I was studying in college, is all 2000s playlists on YouTube for some reason.
Have you listened to any Deltron 3030? It has a lot of the same people as did that Gorillaz album.
I don't think so, off the top of my head. I'm not too informative.
It's still Dan the Automator. He's the main guy that produced that Gorillaz album, and Kid Koala is on it. He does like the scratching. Del the Funky Homo Sapien is the rapper that does like Clint Eastwood and Rock the House. So that the Deltron 3030 album is kind of like a trippy futuristic like rap concept album. Like, it takes place in the year 3030. I've played a couple of songs off that, and there's also Dan the Automator's really good. Anything he's associated with, he produced. Do you know? Have you ever heard of Cool Keith?
Not off the top of my head. I'm a person where the name is never going to help me figure out the situation. It's going to be I got to listen to it and I know this.
Cool Keith is a rapper. He's I guess the quickest reference that most people would know is he's like, you know the song Smack My Bitch Up by Prodigy?
I don't know. I don't think so. Should I take pride in that one?
It's
smacking.
A good song. Let's hear a clip of actually, this is a safe space radio station. I don't know if I should be playing this, but
it's too late now. You already told them you were going.
Smack my bitch up. I'm not promoting violence against women or dogs. Here, just a sec. Let's see if this rings a bell.
It's not tingling anything yet. No, I don't think that one's...
No, you're younger than me.
This was
big when I was in high school. The sample of the guy saying "Smack my bitch," I guess, Cool Keith. But Cool Keith has like five different personas that he puts out albums under, and his most mainstream accessible one is called Dr. Octagon, and they just put out a recent album that has Dan the Automator producing it, and Cool Keith. He's one of my favorite rappers, but anyway, that is that. So have you listened to any of the other Gorillaz albums? Like the first one is the only one that has like that team. I think the only real consistent thing throughout the albums was Damon Albarn. What's the name of his character in Gorillaz? He's like the main male singer that's on a
bunch. Oh, I used to know all their names too. I was like studying them last summer. I was going through like their whole storyline because it's a cartoon band, so everything's made up.
I think between albums, the consistent thing is Damon Albarn and the Jamie something, the artist who did like Tank Girl and stuff. She's the one that designed all the characters and stuff. But yeah, it's never as good as the Dan the Automator album. I don't think after that they went through a few different people to varying levels of success. The second one was okay.
The first album was definitely the most recognizable hits, especially off of that one.
Yeah, like the most recent one, I forget what it's called, but it has some good songs on it. But overall, there's lots of just straight up dance music, I guess, that I'm not super into. I think my favorite song on that first Gorillaz album is M1A1. It has the beginning, like the "Hello, is anybody there?" That's a sample from Day of the Dead in the music. But anything else?
I was going through my phone because I actually forgot my own music taste. Yeah. Which is a good sign. Like, it's like, oh no, I didn't think I was going to be tested.
Would you call yourself a big music fan, or?
No, I don't think I dive in too much into music. I'll go through some of the albums on here, I guess, and you can judge yourself. Obviously, we have Gorillaz. Mm-hmm. I have some Ed Sheeran. I think I lose some points for that one.
I know the name. I think that's somebody that I'm supposed to not like.
He speaks to me on a spiritual level. I think that says more about me than it has to. We got Kendrick Lamar's newest album on there. Yeah, Damn,
Kendrick Lamar. I'm into that.
Chris Wiebe, however you want to pronounce his name.
Never heard of it.
Cage the Elephant.
I like Cage the Elephant.
Post Malone's on there.
Never heard of that one.
AC/DC's on there.
Yeah.
Watsky.
I played a song, or somebody requested a song by them earlier. That was my previous co-host on the old show I used to do, H to the C, Ryan McIntyre. He was a fan of Watsky. I'm so-so on them.
I'm okay with that. I have a couple musicals on here. I have the Hamilton musical.
Yeah. Have you seen the actual musical? I've heard... I don't know if I've heard the whole album or not.
I go through the whole album when I'm driving. I get the full story.
Yeah. Have you? I'm always frustrated when there's a big like Broadway musical like that where we just have no chance of ever seeing it. Like the kind of stuff that, because they don't really. I wish, and I understand why they don't. They want people to go see it live, but like I feel like after so many years, there should be like a Blu-ray of like a production of it. Definitely. That you can watch. Like I really want to see. What was the South Park guys musical?
The Book of Mormon.
Yeah,
that one's pretty good.
I would love to see that, but it's never going to happen.
The thing is, like, I like those musicals and like the entertaining ones, not like the long drawn out story arcing ones. If it's interesting, good to listen to, I will. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if I was going to New York, like my level of interest to musicals goes down a little bit. Like, there's other things I want to see on that bucket list first that are going to cost more money,
right? Yeah, and it's hard to get in, and now it's a different cast altogether for like Hamilton and stuff.
It just
like,
wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not huge into musicals, but you know, sometimes it really depends on what it is. A musical movie that I enjoy that not many people are aware of. There's one called Repo: The Genetic Opera.
Can't say I've heard of it.
It came out. I don't know when it was, but my wife and I, we went up to Montreal to the Fantasia Film Festival and actually saw the North American like premiere of it. And it's kind of like a hard rock, like metal kind of musical. And it takes place in the future where like everybody's getting sick and you can get like new organs on credit. But if you don't pay your bills, the repo man comes and like repossesses the organs out of your body. And, there's Paris Hilton is in it. She plays like some rich socialite that's addicted to surgery, and then there's some sort of drug that you take to like numb the pain for surgery that she's addicted to, and there's like a grave robber that has to dig up bodies to get the stuff to make this blue stuff that you inject.
It sounds like a realistic future, though. Like, all of that sounds believable so far.
Yeah, it's a really cool movie, and the soundtrack is really good. It has Bill Moseley in it. He's known these days. He was Otis in House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects. The guy that played Giles on Buffy the Vampire Slayer plays the titular Repo Man, and there's like a legit opera singer. What's her name? Sarah Brightman is in it. It's a good time. But anyway, we're at 9:52, so let's take a quick break. And normally, for somebody that I haven't had more than a 1 minute long conversation with, this is going pretty well. It can be awkward for this time, so we'll think of what we can talk about for the last 15 minutes. I've got some icebreaker questions.
we can go through those last. Yeah. Like
that. So let's try the old Spotify shuffle and see what comes up on my playlist here.
I find when I put shuffle on my phone now, I end up getting the audio recordings when I'm practicing comedy.
Yeah.
That's the most terrifying thing ever to hear.
All right, we got some, I Might Be Wrong by Radiohead. And then we'll be back. Back on St. John Forward Radio, I'm here with Austin Hill. We've got a short amount of time left, so I'm going to break out some icebreakers. I've got 25 options here, and Austin has selected number 12. So Austin Hill, this is appropriate since you've got some family listening. What is your favorite family tradition?
Oh, geez.
Do you have
Oh, this is going to sound like a terrible person if I can't think of anything right off the top of my head. Just like, oh, no.
I don't think I have any family traditions.
I don't know. On the long weekend of May, I usually go fishing with my old man and all, like, the uncles and stuff, and we all get together and they go on the boat. That's a pretty good one.
That's a good one.
You know, you gather together all, like, once a year, and that's how much time you got to put up with each other. You can fake happiness for one weekend a year, really. You got to drag it out. It's really good.
Yeah, I would say the only family tradition I have would be like every couple of years when I see my sister, we have like a brief period where I'm like, oh, she's really pulled herself together, and then she like flips out at me and we get into a big fight and then we don't talk for another couple of years. So
that sounds like a great family tradition.
It is. She's a bit of a disaster, I don't mind saying. Do you have any disaster family members who are listening right now that you just don't want anything to do with?
No, they're all pretty good, as I gotta say on the radio. I don't know if I compare myself to my sister. I'm the disaster in comparison.
How so? You don't seem like it. What's the most disastrous thing about you?
Getting up every morning. No, it's not too bad, really. I don't know.
You seem like you're pretty together. So, like, what aside from stand-up comedy, what else are you into? Fishing, a little bit of music, a little bit of stand-up.
A lot of stand-up. I like watching stand-up when I'm not even performing it. That's like my go-to thing on Netflix.
Yeah. Who are your favorites? Aside from me, of course.
Obviously, John Ford. Let's do a top five, shall we? Sure. No, just kidding. I was going to say who was the more one. Oh, I'll give a blank on these when I need it. Louis C.K. came to my mind right away, and I was like, that's a terrible one to have.
That's okay. He's a pervert, but he's still a good comedian.
But he was one of the ones where I was watching it, and it was like, as a teenager, starting to get into the comedy thing, and I was like, this guy speaks to me. These jokes are hitting me the hardest for not being a live show. George Carlin was a big one for me. I watched like a lot of his stuff, especially getting into it. I got to
see him at Harbor Station last time that he was there. That was that was fun. I think that ended up being he was working out stuff that ended up being the It's Bad for You special. I think
he did a special like every year, so it's hard to tell which one's which after a while. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're pretty well to the end of the show, so we're going to wrap it up. Do you have anything else to plug? You're going to be at Yuck Yuck's Amateur Night on Wednesday, May 23rd. Anything else coming up?
No, everyone come up to that Wednesday show at Yuck Yuck's. Boost my ego a little bit more. Be there for me more. Clap harder for me. Mm-hmm. I'd like to say thank you for having me on the show. It's really good to see this show as a stepping stone. It was something I wanted to achieve on this comedy scene, and now I have, I think I can retire happily.
Glad to oblige. So, for me, I guess nothing this week, but next week, June 1st, No Jokes Bar Deluxe at O'Leary's. I'll be headlining that. Chris Trotter's hosting. Also on that show is going to be Shand, Corey Hartland, and Eric Chason. So, check that out. And this has been St. John Forward Radio, live on local FM every Monday night, 9 to 10. You can hear the podcast version on johnforward.com. Good night.